Blog Talk Radio.
Album River Nile, available on Amazon. Wonderful, wonderful music. He's a great author too. He's at the Phoenix Black Expo this morning here in Phoenix, Arizona. For those listeners that live here, make sure you attend. That's downtown at the Civic Plaza. This is Professor Applewhite. How are you this morning? And I hope you say fine. That's a great cliche. Fine. Everybody says that when you say how are you, everyone says fine. And those that don't say fine, we try to run in the other direction, don't we? Well, let's go back for a minute. When you ask somebody how they're doing, and I hear this a lot from people that are from other countries, so they say, you know, Americans have this way about them that when you say hello to them and how are you, they automatically say fine, where in places like China or in different countries in Africa, on the African continent, people actually do mean, how are you? And they want you to tell them how you're doing. We don't really want that. We just want to hear, fine. That's part of our culture, is just to accept that everyone's doing fine and move along, because we really don't really mean, how are you? Because if we did, we'd stop for a minute and we'd say, really, I mean, how are you doing? And listen, have eye contact with that individual. It's good mental food. Now, how's that mental food? Well, the thought process, it's positive. And so anything that we do that's positive thinking is part of the mental food that we need to keep going. That nourishes us. Now, that nourishes our spiritual or mind self. Now, you know, the other food, the physical food, that nourishes our physical body and our brain. Because the brain needs a certain amount of glucose in order to function. Glucose, carbohydrates, proteins, all of those stuff that you hear about, all those things you hear about in the so-called food pyramid that the United States Department of Agriculture puts out. They have an actual food pyramid that says, you know, you're supposed to eat so much fiber, so much protein, meat, beans, and it goes up and up the ladder, up and up the pyramid, where at the top of the pyramid, there's a small section at the tip of it where it says, where it leaves room for fats, because that's not what we're supposed to have a lot of. But at the very bottom, the carbohydrates are the largest amount of nutritional components we're supposed to have for our physical body. Now, in that same vein, we need to think about mental food and make a pyramid for that also, okay? And that pyramid for that, what would be on the bottom of that pyramid? Now, think about the a pyramid and that food pyramid, if you would, for some of you who know what I'm talking about. At the very bottom, across the bottom, you have this large amount of food that you're supposed to consume from one category. And then it goes up and up and up into another category. And here's what I would like to suggest, okay, to my friends out there, is that on the bottom of the pyramid, that the most abundant thoughts of positive nature, of a positive nature, would be there at the bottom. And that means waking up in the morning, saying hello to your positive self, thinking about positive things that you can do, how you can help someone else. What are you going to do that's going to make you feel good in that day? And that would be the abundance at the bottom of your mental health pyramid. Yeah, mental food pyramid, okay? And then at the very top would be, you know how at the top of the food pyramid they have all these, the fats that you're not supposed to have a lot of. So what could be at the top of the mental food pyramid? My assumption would be that it would be probably aggressive behavior, avoiding being around aggressive people, not letting bad thoughts come into your mind and kicking yourself about certain things. I shoulda, like a very good friend of mine and motivational speaker, Jewel Diamond Taylor, has taught me, and so many others, don't should on yourself, okay? Don't should on yourself. Very, very interesting. She comes up with such creative things. Make sure you take a look at Jewel Diamond Taylor's website, donotgiveup.net. Wonderful, wonderful stuff on there, motivational stuff for women of all races and cultures. Just excellent stuff. A lot of stuff going on for women today. Talk about mental food for women. They had a really great show on BET just recently, Black Girls Rock. Just fantastic stuff. They're coming up with a lot of Fatima Haleem here in Phoenix has a program called Life Paradigms, and she is doing wonderful things with young ladies, helping them to go through the rites of passage at the pre-adolescent stage. And I can just go through a whole list of resources for young women and mature women that are out there to promote the idea of mental food. We'll be having Fatima Haleem on our show probably sometime in the earlier part of 2012. She'll be joining us. But anyway, let's get started here. We've got some great guests coming on before I start reading the description here of the show this morning. And good morning, this is Professor Applewhite. How are you? This is 602-418. And if you're not able to answer, that's okay. I'm glad that you joined our show this morning. And we have another listener, 314 area code. I'm not sure where that is. You know, we are a global radio show, and we have people that call in and talk to us from all over the world. And so it's really wonderful that our listeners are not just set on listening to our show because they're in Arizona, because we branch out and have people coming in from all over the place. Are you there? Professor Applewhite speaking, 314-387.
Yes, I'm just listening in to the show, that's all. How are you doing, sister?
All right, very good, brother, very good. I'm glad to have you here on the show this morning. Anything you'd like to add in, you just jump right in and say, hey, I've got something to say. And that'll be fine. I have a chat line open this morning also for those of you who are interested in just writing back, writing into the show. I'll reply to you or one of our assistants here will apply to you, and we will get your comments on the show this morning. So tell us what you think about mental food. Last week, we went through the 7-day mental diet. And we had broken the show up because we did a very beautiful special for Thanksgiving on thanking the unemployed. And I hope if you get a chance, listeners, to click on that show and listen to what we said about the unemployment issue and being able to give thanks even when you're in the most dire circumstances. And how do you do that? How do you pull that up from inside of you when you're looking at the dinner table and there's not much on there anymore? And that unemployment check or maybe no check at all is just not getting anything done. How do you give thanks under those circumstances? So make sure you get a chance to go back and listen. All our shows are archived. You can go back and click on that show and listen to it while you're doing something around the house or whatever. Great, great, great stuff. Oh, and we had a guest on there last week, Ann P. Meredith, who's a film producer of Swordfish Productions. And she's doing a show on called Forgotten Angels, which will be featured in Washington, D.C. in March at the White House. Yes, 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 yes. And she was on our show last week and gave a really beautiful expose on unemployed and homeless women veterans. And so all my sister veterans out there, welcome this morning. I hope you've had a chance to listen to the show and haven't looked and seen what the comments are for this week back on that show, but I hope that I'm going to find something very, very lovely out there. Well, let's get into what is this show about today? And, I mean, this is part two of three of what do you feed your mental self? So what are we going to talk about today? Some of you ask, well, how could you do three parts of one conversation? Believe me, there's a lot to say about mental food. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. And that was a slogan developed by the United Negro College Fund. I've always loved that slogan since the first time I've heard it. I was in an undergraduate college myself, and I wanted to go to a an institution, a college that catered to the black population. And I didn't get a chance to do that. I got accepted at another school and went on to finish my degree at Chapman University in California. Yay, 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 okay. But, United Negro College Fund does a lot to help people as far as when you talk about mental food. Here's another positive thing that we can do. Organizations like that can help a lot of people. And so that's one of the things that we can do to feed our mental self is to look at what organizations that we can actually sit down and help. And, you know, lately I've been noticing that when I get something in the mail from some of these organizations, it will actually say your donation of $40 or $50. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know, what if I don't have $40? You know, that's really nice to get that suggestive thought out there, and I appreciate that their thought is that $40 can come out of my pocket, out of my budget. So, you know, I can look at that in a very positive way also. But I look at my budget, and I'm a realist. Okay, I'm a realist more than an optimist. So I am an optimist also. But the reality is that I don't have $40. So you know what? $5 goes a long way too. So don't hesitate because it says $40 or $50 or whatever on some of these organizational forms that they send out to you. Send whatever you can. It will boost your feelings about yourself. Talk about some mental food that will make you feel great. You know how you eat something physically and you feel wonderful about it? Well, the same thing happens when you feed yourself mentally. You feel really great. You know, I can't even explain the joy you feel when you help somebody else out. And maybe some of our guests this morning that are online that come on to the show, at make sure you call in 646-727-3758 and share with us some of the mental food that you process and how good it makes you feel when you do help somebody else out, okay? So that's really, really good stuff. We'd love to hear your stories on that. So bottom line is, back to that United Negro College Fund and the slogan they adopted, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. It is critical for students and teachers to understand how the brain works differently from the mind and what it means to waste either one. Did you hear what I said there? The brain works differently from the mind and what it means to waste either your brain by putting things in your brain that are not good and your body, and putting things into your mind that are not good for it. So both things working together can truly destroy an individual. And we know that from looking at drug addiction out there, whether it's prescribed or not, we can see that it can destroy both the brain and the mind. So you're joining me this morning and some of the staff of White Apple Institute, our sponsor, in a discussion on what harmful things we feed the brain and the mind. And you're going to be surprised about the destructive things we consume by thoughts and physical foods. So what? Let's begin our show by looking at the destructive things that we feed ourselves physically. Now, I'm not going to elaborate a lot on that because I know that most of us look at some of those shows and hear things. I mean, it's all over the magazines constantly. You pick up a magazine or you click on the television show and you hear all the stuff about what's not good to eat and what's good to eat. You know that it's good to eat vegetables. Gosh, you knew that when you were 3 years old. Your mother sat you down and said, you know, you need to eat the green on your plate. And if you're like most kids, you didn't want to eat the green stuff, okay? I have a couple of grandsons that do like to eat green foods, and I'm really, really happy about that. But most of the time, at a young age, we seem to adopt a principle within us of not eating good foods. And a lot of that is modeled by our parents. That's right. So if you're looking on your plate of food, if you're a parent, and you see that on your plate of food, there's fried chicken, fried potatoes, onion rings, fried onion rings, all of those things, which, you know, I'm not saying, there's no judgment here, believe me. I'm just saying that if that's something that's constantly on your plate, things like that, and your child is looking at that, that's the model that they're going to follow. Not when you tell them, here, eat the salad, and you're not eating the salad, okay? So in that same voice, believe it or not, my friends, your children and teachers, your students, are looking at what mental food you feed yourselves and what you project out of your mouth. Great Bible writer James in the Old Testament talks very, very detail about the tongue and how the tongue can really hurt another individual by what's going out of the mouth, but also what's going into the brain. Do we have a comment here from our 314 number?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I didn't realize I was still in the queue. I'm still listening.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything you want to add to this mental food? Do you feel good when you help someone else?
Yes, I do. It's actually in the, it tells us to do that in the Bible. Proverbs. I read Proverbs. And I make sure my mental food is, you know, the same as my son. I'm a single dad. So, I understand what you mean as far as the mental food. But you have to be careful what you allow in your brain to get to your mind.
Yes. Yes. And that connection. Because a lot of times, brother, we don't understand that what we feed our brain is the physical food. Okay?
Right.
The mind is fed by the knowledge, the wisdom that we inherit from our ancestors. You know, I mean, my wisdom base is totally connected, and I'm in gratitude to my grandmother, who I speak of a lot on the show, Louisa Leek from Wilson, North Carolina. And my grandmother was the greatest psychologist I ever knew. And my grandmother taught me a lot about mental food, and I mentioned it on a couple of shows back, and I was talking about how even in the early days of slavery and after slavery, we were also enslaved from our minds.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
One of the speeches that I gave when I first came to Arizona was at the Florence State Prison, and the title of my speech was Emancipation of the Mind. And what I was really talking about there is the Willie Lynch.
Oh, yes. Oh, excuse me. Yes.
Okay. and how that feeds into the factor that if we're not on that pathway to putting in the right kind of mental food, then we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in trouble because we're always going to be in that slave mentality.
Exactly. And at the same note, that also disrupted the order of our family, which was pretty much the heavenly order. When mm-hmm. you take a woman, and excuse me, I get kind of emotional when I speak on it. When you take a woman and take the man that's the head of her and his children, mm-hmm. and his head is Christ, and his head is God, the Most High,
mm-hmm.
him in front of his woman to disrupt the heavenly order and make the woman afraid and see her man being weakened
mm-hmm.
to show that there is no power, just so that you can, I mean, just that part of the William Lynch letter is pretty much like, it hurt me.
Yes.
Of course, in the future, there will be a lot of single moms and men not in the household.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a product of that. I'm 32 years old, and I like to tell a lot of brothers and sisters that first we have to free our mind, because we are a product of not only slavery, but the Willie Lynch letters, what happened in the 60s, we're a product of what, maybe 100 years?
Yes.
Actually, 800 years since this has been going on?
Well, it's 400, actually. It's been 400 years.
Wow.
Right. And remember, we take some responsibility for continuing that mentality. And that's
exactly. As we should, because we are to love our brother. But I mean, that's nothing, you know. But we definitely should, because it is. But we can't until honestly, I don't mean to preach, but we can't until we come back under God. We can't until then.
That's right.
Until we come back to under the heavenly order, until
that's
our men wake up, if and the women won't follow. We know that right now, unless the men wake up and change their ways
mm-hmm.
to get back to this heavenly order.
Yes.
The reason why we are still, I guess, in chaos now, but we are waking up. We are waking up to who we are and what's really going on. But
I'm glad to hear you say that. I'm very glad to hear you say that, because there's so many people that suppress, especially us as a people, black people in this country, and they make it seem like we haven't progressed and done anything, and we have done a lot, and we need to pat ourselves on the back for where we are today also. And I appreciate what you're saying, because you're acknowledging that we have done something. We haven't done it all. We're not all the way there, but gosh, we've come a long way.
Yes.
Even
slavery, even our history before slavery. I read a book by author Rudolph R. Windsor.
Mm-hmm. R. Ranger.
Rudolph R. Windsor. W-I-N-D-S-O-R.
Okay.
It's called The Valley of the Dry Bones.
Valley of the Dry Bones. Interesting.
Yeah. And he explains as far as how the dry bones that Ezekiel was speaking on was the future, that those bones that were, their spirit would ever rise when, you know, God asked Ezekiel that, and he said, I don't know, Father, but you will. Only you know. That was a prophecy of us in these times, which is pretty much the basis of that book, as far as why we don't support each other's businesses, why we don't support each other the way we're supposed to, how we got knocked out of the heavenly order, and all biblical references. He refers a lot to Deuteronomy 28, 16 through 68.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest ones that he refers it to is 64 through 68, where it says, during this time, Moses was given the blessings and the curse of the children of Israel, and he said, if you do not follow these laws that I give you. So we'll go to 64 to 68. He says, and I will deliver thee into Egypt again with ships, where no man will buy you, where you will serve your enemy.
Hmm. Hmm. And I guess symbolically, that's saying that if we're not on the pathway of at least thinking on a positive wavelength of, you know, we can do something different with our lives. We can think things differently with our lives and pass those positive thoughts on to our children, to our students in this life. That we're going to land up still back in this slavery. We're never going to get out of slavery. Is that basically, did I wrap that up pretty good?
On top of the fact of letting us know who we are, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And who are we? Who are we as not only just as black people in America? Who are we as human beings, as the human race? See, because, I mean, after we get to a certain point, and we will get to a certain point of recognizing our true nature, and our true nature is different from, you know, culturally speaking, from each other even. You know, there's different cultures within the black race, and there's different cultures within the white race. I mean, there are white people that never, ever knew anything about Willie Lynch or slavery or any of those things. And so we can't just group everybody together, because there are black people that never even experienced the aspect of slavery here in America. And so, they, you know, just because the color of their skin, we assume that they understand what we're talking about, but some of them don't. And even today, in today's world, we have our generation of children, even now, are not even familiar with the struggle. I remember just recently a movie that came out, oh my goodness, it was about maids back in the 50s and 60s. Okay, it just came out. It hasn't even been a year. But anyway, it was about the maids and how the maids began to tell the story. Do you remember that
Help.
Movie?
Yes, but I haven't seen it yet, but it's called The Help, I think.
The Help, right, exactly. And I know that there were a lot of my students were just not interested in going to see the movie, black or white. More of my white students wanted to see the movie. Okay, but the black students, the majority of them did not feel that they needed to review that history because it doesn't happen anymore. Well, the point is that it's knowledge-based, and
right.
Symbolically speaking, we are all, as going back to my statement earlier, when we move into the real human race aspect, we are all enslaved if we don't recognize the beautiful God force within us. If we don't recognize the kingdom of God within us, we are all enslaved and we are all not feeding ourselves positive food. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree, but you know, it's not in all of us.
No.
You know, it's not in everybody. Some people are just too wicked to, I mean, you can tell. I mean, it's not in everyone. It's not in everyone. Just, we can say that now.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I don't know if you're the kind of person like myself. Early in life, I recognized the importance of looking at life seriously, and that all of us have a demise that we are going to be a demise that we are going to be. We're going to leave here. That this body, this physical body, deteriorates, and.
Right.
We better start thinking about what the real essence of life is. And that is the spiritual essence, that mind self or mental self that we're talking about this morning. And so at 11, 12 years old, I kind of understood the seriousness of that. And it sounds like you're kind of one of those people too. that you recognized it early in life. Here you are, you said 32 years old, and you sound like a very wise man.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you.
Okay. And also, congratulations to you. I applaud you for being a single father. I applaud you deeply in my heart. We need to hear more from people like yourself, brothers like yourself, that are doing this. We don't hear enough about you. You know, as a matter of fact, I don't think, now, I have to go back and look at my archives, so I'm going to cover myself on this. I don't think I've seen an article in Ebony or Jet or Essence really talking about the wonderful things that single fathers are doing. Now, if you have a reference for that, I'm open to it. But I have not seen it.
Me, I don't read the magazines. I pretty much read books.
Okay, all right. Yeah. But even on the news, in the media, I just don't see a lot of portrayal out there of what single fathers are going through. And there's a lot of them. I have many, many students that are male students that are taking care of their kids of all colors, of all races.
Right.
And so the time we live in. One moment, we have another caller on it. What should I call you? What's your name? Just give me a name. What is it?
Eric.
Okay, Eric. It's really good talking to you. I'm going to come back to you in a minute, okay? If you can stay on. All right. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite. Who do I have here at 602-268? Good morning. If you feel comfortable just staying on the switchboard, that's great. But if you feel like saying your name, that's great, too. I'm going to check the chat room. And anything else that comes up that you want to come in online and say, as we're talking about this mental food, make sure that you give a comment to us, okay? All right. We don't have anyone on chat yet this morning. Let's go on and say a few more things, because I do want to get deeper into what this mental food is about and how we can relate this to what our caller Eric has been talking about here, because he brought in a different perspective or added to the perspective. Wasn't really different, because we have to talk. There's no way to avoid, when we talk about mental food, that there are some races that are in need of more mental food than others, okay? And that's because historically, we have been so involved in feeding ourselves physically that we didn't even have the time or energy to think about mental food. I'm trying to put food on the table so we can get by to the next day and have energy. You know, so when you think about let me go back to my grandmother for a minute, because I was going to finish a thought on that. Is that my grandmother, when in the early days, she talked to me about mental food. She didn't call it that, but she talked about the factor that when they were in the fields and they were picking cotton, that the people that were around her group of people, would sing songs in order to keep themselves going. And that's mental food. That's a form of mental food, good, positive mental food. If you ever listen to the old Negro spirituals, if you will, you'll find that they have a lot of good themes, underlying themes, that would keep people motivated to see that there's a brighter day, a brighter life. And so what happened is that, because we wonder, as a psychologist, I'm amazed at how many hours of work that people put into working in cotton fields and all kinds of agricultural jobs and not being paid anything. Not being paid anything to being paid a minimum wage of the minimum wage, okay? So where somebody else might be getting $1 an hour, they were getting 10 cents an hour, okay? And my grandmother was among that crowd. And still, how on earth did they stay motivated that long? 12, 14-hour days in the hot sun. And yes, they dragged home from a tired body, but still a mind that was alert and willing to still praise the God that they knew. Now, how does that happen? That's some good mental food. You're talking about some good, good mental food, and that's something that we need to take into account.
Good morning.
Go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Dr. Polnitz.
Hi, Dr. Polnitz.
How are you this morning?
Always good to have you on board this morning. This is one of our board members for White Apple Institute, our sponsor. We appreciate you so much.
It's been a delight to listen to the program this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make a comment concerning the gentleman who spoke about,
yes,
you know, the Bible and so forth.
Yes.
And I just wanted to talk just for a brief minute about the Bible, and specifically in Daniel chapter 1, verse 12. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, get deep into the Bible, but
right,
there is a food that's eaten. It's called pulse, and it's a brain food. It's a mental food. It's a healthy food.
Oh.
And it was eaten at that time. And my aunt is a minister, and we were having a conversation about this only a few days ago.
Oh.
She is eating a food called pulse that is manufactured here in the United States.
Really?
By a company called Forever Green.
And just spell that again. Spell that
pulse
for us. Sorry. Yes.
Pulse. P-U-L.
Oh. Oh, P-U-L-P. Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And you can purchase that food. In fact, White Apple Institute, who is the sponsor of this radio show,
uh-huh,
has a link directly to that. And if it's okay, I'll give out that link. And
okay,
you can go on and you can look at this. It's called Pulse. It's under,
uh-huh,
a brand called Versativa. That's Versativa, Versativa.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
the link for that would be 220-8471.myforevergreen.org.
Okay, I didn't even have that, so thank you very much.
And
staff is constantly working at White Apple Institute to get these new things out to our students. That's wonderful. Thank you.
And specifically for the gentleman that was speaking, I would like for you to take a look at that. Take a look at Daniel. I think you'd be very, very happy to know that there is a food, a natural, all natural, 100% organic, healthy food that you can be feeding the children that you're taking care of, and I commend you on being a single dad and taking care of the children.
Yeah, I think Eric needs to hear that too. I think he needs to hear that. Okay, this is a show where you will get all the accolades that you need to keep on going. That's what we're all about here, is motivating each other so that we can do all that we can to not only help our people, but help the planet to continue to grow.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Fulfill our purpose, you know, in what we perceive as God, you know, because everybody perceives God by different names or whatever. But I'll tell you something. We'll all know who the true God is. We'll all know that. I truly believe that. I don't care what religion you are. If you're really, truly in that pathway of being a loving individual and you really want to feed yourself good physical food to stay healthy so that your mind will stay healthy and give yourself the good mental food that you need, if you're really on that pathway, you will see who the true God is. We don't have to argue about it. I just know when people argue about all that stuff. What are you arguing about? Okay?
Right.
You're in the right mind. You know, you're going to know what it is anyway. Okay?
Right, we'll find out.
That's right. Because there's always a common, if you love, there's a common ground right there. And so let's just talk about the common ground that we all have and forget all the traditions and the rituals and things that have come up that make your religion what it is. Because
traditions are man of vain.
That's right. That's right.
This is in a bank. Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are.
We're talking about love. Love is the premise of God. God is love. And the Bible says that. The Quran says it. The Buddhist principles say it. That all of the universal principles that are part of Buddhism talk about only love and peace. Okay? When you talk about Islam, that's all you hear when you talk about Christianity. So with all of this, okay, and I can't forget Judaism and all the things that branch out from all those four basic religions. So they all have a mental or spiritual diet that they lay out for people. And so we need to be aware of what spiritual, mental diet we need to take in order to be as less frightened of what's happening in our world today. Less frightened by the so-called economic recession. Less frightened about the unemployment situation. Less frightened about losing our homes and a roof over our head. We can become less frightened at all of the things that are facing us in this world. And I say in this world because America is just beginning to face what other countries have been facing for a very, very long time. We now have an increase in our homeless population and an increase in the number of children that go hungry from physical food every night. Okay? And that's deep. That's deep. Because I thought when I was going to talk about this show that we were going to talk about, I was going to be able to expound on the wonderful job that we're doing here in America with feeding all of our children every night. But then I found out the statistics that one out of six or seven children goes to bed hungry here in America. So that just blew my mind into thinking that if that's here in America, what on earth is going on around outside of America? You know, how many children are hungry every day for the physical food and let alone don't have time to think about how do I feed my mind? And the mind needs to be stimulated. The mind without stimulation is not even, it's going to die. It needs stimulation. That's what it feeds off of. They had an experiment, and I'm not going to get too deep into this because I don't want to start teaching a class. Okay. But we had an experiment in the psychology course that we talked about where they took monkeys and they put monkeys, and they've done this with kittens and all kinds of little animals. But let's just go with monkeys for a minute and say that they put them in a very isolated spot when they were born. They separated the monkeys into two groups, okay? And one group of the monkeys received that were able to stay with the mother and get a lot of nurturing and food and just warmth all through their infancy. And the other group were given food, physical food, but they did not receive any of the nurturing and warmth of being with another body and close. They were kind of, even when they started to go near each other, they were separated for the purpose of seeing how well they would survive without having the communication with another person, any kind of positive stimulation to the mind. And what they found was that the monkeys that were with the mother survived much better than the monkeys who were not involved in anything else but physical food. As a matter of fact, they started to deteriorate mentally, and they weren't able to do some of the very simple things in life as monkeys would do. And so that gave us an indication that human beings fall into that same kind of category. That's why we use animals in animal research. We can't do a lot of this stuff with human beings. But we found that still, as an observation, human beings need warmth, nurturing, positive thoughts, stimulation early in life in order for us to grow. And when we don't have that, we disconnect. The brain disconnects from the mind. And that becomes a very serious issue, my friends. Because the mind is that power that holds that spiritual power that keeps, okay, I'm just going to put it on the line. When you sleep at night, I promise you that there is a force called the mind, or whatever, you can call it anything you want to, but there's something else beyond the physical that keeps your heart beating, that keeps your blood circulating, that makes sure that you swallow and breathe. And when you can tell me what that is, I don't care what name you put on it, I'm going to say that that's love. I'm going to say that that's from a creator, a loving creator, that saw the importance of teaching us the lesson that outside of your bodies, and this is very important to people who have disabilities, especially physical disabilities, and mental, because they're all the same. Physical and mental disabilities are the same. It means something is broken, something is not circulating and communicating right within your body, okay? But even in that instance, I hope that people within that category of calling themselves disabled will realize that they are spiritual beings more than they are physical beings. And I think that puts people with disabilities in a beautiful category. Because if you really look at where you're at in this life, when you have any kind of so-called limitation and you are able to overcome it and still break a smile, wow, you are doing something in this life. When you can overcome what's going on with your physical body and still be part of the purpose, of your purpose on this planet, you're doing something. When we look at a mental diet, and I went over this a little bit last week or the week before, and I just want to review a few things. And this is from Emmett Fox, by the way. And he said that if you stay on this diet, this mental diet, that you will be, that it will change your life, okay? And what he talks about is this great cosmic law, but what he's really talking about is the quality of mental food and how our creator, okay, is clearly states to us, if we just listen, the essential truth of how we can overcome depression, fear, just an overall bad disposition. You can't be prosperous in this life. And I didn't say rich. I didn't say wealthy. I'm not talking about dollar amounts. Prosperity is an overall feeling, a mentality that we develop. But you can't be prosperous if you don't feed yourself the right mental food. And when you're in a prosperous attitude, you will bring money to you. So know that. Because if you're not in a prosperous attitude, and even if you have money, like say for instance you won a lottery or something like that, or somebody gave you an inheritance, I can guarantee you, I bet you that you can think of people that have had large sums of money, or even yourself, and all of a sudden it's gone because they spent it so quickly. Because prosperity is a way of life. It's an attitude about your life. And it's feeding yourself the right mental food to stay balanced. Balanced spiritually, balanced mentally. You understand the essence of who you are from a perspective that's beyond the physical. You need the physical, of course, and you need to feed the physical to keep it going. But when you start really feeding the mind by whatever you use, by songs, like I spoke about the old Negro spirituals, but any song that makes you feel right. I was saying this to somebody else, and they mentioned a song by R. Kelly. They said, you know, it's an old song, but I love this song. It's I Believe I Can Fly. I Believe I Can Touch the Sky. I think about it every night and day. I close my eyes and I fly away. Those are good mental thoughts. That's good mental food. And that's what we want to keep focused on. And when you find yourself sliding away from what is good for you and what is good for those that you take care of, like your children or your students, teachers out there, then what happens is you start sliding into a mentality of depression, and putting yourselves down and not feeling very good about your life. And everything that comes up in your life, in your environment, seems to pull you down every single day. It's our thoughts that allow ourselves to think. The subjects that you allow your mind to dwell upon, which make you and your surroundings what they are. Emmett Pox says, that's where your strength is. Everything in your life today, the state of your body, whether healthy or sick, the state of your fortune, whether prosperous or impoverished, the state of your home, whether happy or the reverse, the present condition of every phase of your life, in fact, is entirely conditioned by the thoughts and feelings which you have entertained in the past, by the habitual tone of your past thinking, and the condition of your life tomorrow and next week and next year will be entirely conditioned by the thoughts and feelings which you choose to entertain right now. Right now. So, in other words, you can listen to these words that we're talking about this morning and from Brother Eric's expose on scripture and his unbelievable, I'm sure. I don't know Eric, I don't know you, but I just feel good with you coming through the phone the way you have and speaking about your son. How old is your son, by the way? Eric, are you still there? Okay, I think we might have lost him. But the bottom line is that when we look at a man, any man, that is willing to take care of his son. Okay, we've got Eric back now. Eric, I was asking you about your son. How old is he?
He's 5.
Okay, so you've got a 5-year-old son, and I'll tell you, that says a lot right there. I mean, 5-year-olds are not easy to take care of. Now, I enjoyed my son at every age, and I have a funny feeling you probably do too.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
I mean, I always kind of looked at people, and they said terrible twos. I'm like, what is so terrible about being 2 years old? He's just exploring and touching and... The mental stimuli, the mental food. Now, you talk about mental food. Don't kids, they know what mental food is.
Exactly.
Okay? They got an imagination. What happened to our imagination? Because that's a great way of feeding ourselves positively from a mental standpoint. It's imagination. Do we actually go into... sitting for a while, just after a whole day of working and just all kinds of things that go on, you know, coming home from work, having to cook and clean and maybe go to church and the commitments here and commitments there. When do we find time to just relax and take in some good positive thoughts, listen to some great music, sit for a while with you and God? You got to do that, and you got to let your children and your students know that you're doing that, because that's important. They're looking at us as role models, and we've lost a lot of that. Everything is go, 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 and we're losing the essence of our spiritual and mental selves. We can't let that happen. Do we have anything else from any of our callers here? The 602-268, I don't know if you had something to say now about mental food and what you feel as far as what you feed yourself. And I would like to look at, oh, yes, I do have a chat here, and I thank you very much for coming online. I'm just reading it right now. And the guest number 15347, thank you for your comments there. We love having you listen to the show. And we thank you very much for sharing that you enjoy the mental food conversation that we're having this morning. And yes, we do get into a little bit of spiritual, not a religious radio show. We don't claim that, but we do claim to have a definite connection to God and love on our show. And so if you're okay with that, then you can join us from whatever religion that you practice. And you can get something from every show that you listen to. Because we have all kinds of different topics that go on. Next week, as a matter of fact, we will be dealing with what real hunger is. And I want you to keep that in your mind, of what real hunger is. And if you've ever experienced real hunger in your life. And we say a lot to ourselves, I'm hungry. Or as my brother used to say, I'm hungry, okay? And what he was trying to say is his stomach is growling. That's what we all do. You know, we get to a certain, after 4 to 5 hours of not eating, our physical self tells us that we need to grab onto something, put it in our mouths and into our body so that our brain gets the food that it needs, so it doesn't go into a state of deprivation. And our physical bodies don't start deteriorating, because they will. If you go too long without putting physical food in your body, it will start to work on you. Unless you have, this is interesting, because I don't know, maybe you can jump in on this one, Eric, and help me out with this. Or yeah. Dr. Polnitz. Dr. Polnitz, if you're still online, I'm getting ready to say something very profound here. There are people.
I'm smiling.
Okay, all right. There are people that go on fast, okay? And I'm thinking about Jesus going into the wilderness for 40 days, okay? And I'm thinking about the soldiers that I've talked to, fellow veterans that have gone hungry for days out there in the field. So I don't know what they're saying. They have a scale that says if you go so many days without food, you will die, and so many days without water. I think it's 4 days. And I'm wondering, wait a minute. Something else is missing here, because I have stories of people that have gone days and days. Gandhi, another one. On days and days without eating. And so what keeps them going? Is that the spiritual, mental stuff? The mental food they're feeding themselves that keeps them going? Okay, I'm going to shut up right here. Oh, wow. We got only 3 minutes left on the show. I don't know if you got anything that you can just slide in there right now.
Can I say really quick, watch the movie Thrive.
Thrive.
Go ahead, Eric.
T-H-R-I-V-E.
Yeah. I did want to say, y'all, Christ did say that man should not live off bread alone. So, yeah, you have to feed your spirit. You must feed your spirit.
Wonderful. Oh, thank you for that. That does it. That's what I was looking for. Man cannot live off of bread alone. So that sums up the show. Thank you, Eric.
And the movie Thrive goes into really deep graphics about how that works. It's beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Did you find it on YouTube? Oh, it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I will definitely. Thrive, listeners. Go on YouTube and per Dr. Polnitz, that's her prescription for us for this week. And come on back next week and tell us what you think about that, or chat with us and let us know on the Student to Teacher show what you feel about that movie, because evidently it must mean something, because that's the third or fourth time that I think you've mentioned it to me, and then I heard it from another person, Dr. Polnitz. So thank you for reinforcing. We've got 90 seconds left on the show right now. We want to end with we already ended with a positive note, that man cannot live on bread alone. Eric, you've got to join us again, okay? You had some really good things to say. Where do you live? Where is 314? What area is that in? That's in the United States.
Yeah, it's in Missouri.
In Missouri, okay. How'd you hear about our show?
I just went on Blog Talk Radio and looked on anything spiritual that's going on and found the show.
Wow. Well, thank you. I hope you found a home spot here, you know, for a couple of Saturdays, and you can listen to some of the archive shows and share it with the people that you know and love in your life. Okay? Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I thank you all for your chats. I thank all of our listeners out there, almost 20,000 people out there that come in and out of our show. And we just, oh, God, we love you. We love you. And I love me. And I love you and your children. And I know that we can make a change. Be optimists, but realist also. And let's thank Nazim Rashid for his show that follows ours, called Mentor Man, Reconnected, from his book Reconnected. And I thank you and see you next Saturday. Applewhite signing out here. One moment.